You know, I just had some thoughts for this evening. We've been sharing a few messages along this theme of faith involves action. And, you know, we've been looking at James and looking at some other scriptures that bear that out, that, you know, if you see something in the Word of God, God in His Word says that faith without an action, faith without a corresponding action is dead. It's lifeless. It doesn't produce any fruit. And so we've been looking at that, but just some thoughts kind of surfacing in my heart and mind that we need to think about just the thoughts that we have. And, you know, we're consumed every day with thoughts. And this earth realm is just saturated with things that are ungodly. And, of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 talks about the God of this world who would blind the minds of those that are lost and believe not, lest the light of what? The glorious gospel of Christ would shine in. So the Word of God, when it's received, will bring light. It'll reveal things that we need to know and we need to understand. But I was looking at this scripture just as we were coming on, and this is in the Passion Translation, and this is Colossians chapter 3 in the Passion Translation, the first two verses, or we could look at the first few, or just verse 1 and 2, but Colossians 3, starting in verse 1 in the Passion Translation, it says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. See, we've been raised from the dead. We've been delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And then it goes on and says, this is why we are to yearn for all that is above. See, we've been raised from the dead. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of power, honor, and authority. We're seated there with Him. Verse 2, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. And that's what happens. The devil and all of these distractions in life pull us away from feasting on and thinking on the treasures of the heavenly realm. You know, sometimes when we talk to people, and I even include myself, you can get so wrapped up in the activities of the day that you're pulled away from thinking on the treasures of the heavenly realm. And you start talking like you don't have a covenant. And you start talking about, well, what are we going to do? What about this? What about this? What about this? And I'm thinking, wait a minute. What does God say about that? He said that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us things we need to know. He'll help us. He's our helper. And so we need to, whenever we find ourselves being distracted like that, we need to slow down, kind of, as they say, chill, and say, okay, God, I need some help here. I'm being distracted. I'm being pulled away from just You here. And look to the inside. Look to the inner man for direction. And so I just wanted to share that because a lot of times, I want to read it again, verse 2. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. You know, when it says you fill, or it says fill, the understanding there is you. It says fill your thoughts. Well, the understanding is you have to do something. So it's a choice. We can either fill our minds and our thoughts full of the distractions, or we can just say, wait a minute, I'm being distracted here. Let me just slow down. Let me look to God. Let me look to the greater one. And let me fill my thoughts with good thoughts. And when I'm thinking about that, let's just, I know this isn't really, it is part of the lesson, but let's look at the King James. I'm just thinking of this in Philippians. And it says here in Philippians chapter 4, and let's see if we want to look at that. Yeah, let's look at this in the Passion Translation, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. It says, don't be pulled in different directions. That sounds like distractions, doesn't it? Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. And so you might stop and say, that's not possible. We worry about stuff. Well, it says here, don't do it. It says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated and in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overgrowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. See? If you're having a hard day, tell him. Say, Lord, this is a hard day for me here. I need your help. Verse 7. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. And it said, verse 8. So keep your thoughts, see? You keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable, admirable, beautiful, and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we need to take control of our thoughts and not just let them just run without a check. In other words, put your thoughts in check. Think on those things which are good and lovely and of a good report, which says in the King James. But it says here that we're to do, don't get pulled all over the place and worry about things. And, people have responsibilities. People have things going on in their life, and they have choices to make, and things come up which could cause you to worry or could cause you to fear. And God is saying here, don't let that pull it into subjection, you could say. You control it. And that's going to be a discipline. You have, it didn't say how you felt, but God said in 2 Timothy that he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And so he's given us some direction, some guidance, some understanding from the Word of God. And I just wanted to share that because we need to manage what we think about. I guess that's really what we're saying. And we can just let our minds run and think about things, or we can control it and think on heavenly realities. Think on God's Word and His promises. And he will do what? He'll empower us to do that. He'll help us. And so let's just start this evening and look at some scriptures. I was looking at John 14, 15, and 16, or 15, 16, 17 in the Passion Translation. John chapter 14, verse 15, 16, and 17 in the Passion Translation. It says, "Loving me empowers you to obey my commands." See, so when we love him, then what does that really mean? If you love someone, you will obey their commands. You will yield to them. And so it says here, he empowers you to obey them. So as we were sharing that the last few lessons, that just listening to the word is not enough. You need to obey it. And when you obey him and his word, didn't say I had to feel like it, but as I obey him, this says here, he'll empower me to do that. In verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him. But you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and will live inside you." Now, this was Jesus speaking before he went to the cross, and it says, "will live in you." Well, he already does. If we've received Jesus as Lord, the Holy Spirit has come and taken up residence in us. And he will, let's look at the New Living Translation in John 16 and verse 13, 14 and 15. It says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." See, that's why it's important that we think on the right thoughts. And it says, "He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." See, a lot of times that's just exactly where fear and worry comes from. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? This says right here, the Holy Spirit, who will never leave us, he will tell us about the future. He's going to show you the right decisions and choices to make. Verse 14, "He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." This is exciting to me. This is a relationship where we're looking to God. We're looking to him for direction. That's why when I was just sharing there that when we find ourselves being distracted with the distractions of the day and we're being pulled all over the place, we need to just slow down and look to him, look to the Holy Spirit in us, because he will show us, as the scripture says, things to come. He will show us how to walk through and navigate this that we're facing. And let's continue. Let's look at Hebrews 11:1. And we were looking at these scriptures on Sunday. And I'll look at this in the King James. It says, "Now faith is the substance," that means it has some tangibility. "Now faith is" what? "The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So as we were sharing on Sunday, faith is now. It exists. Whatever it is that God has promised, it exists in his realm. So that means healing or prosperity, wisdom, strength, it exists now. Now, how do we bring that which exists in his realm over into this natural realm that we live in? It's by faith. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, something that I expect or I'm looking or expecting. It says what? The evidence, my faith is the evidence of something not seen in this realm. It didn't say something that doesn't exist, because it does exist. Faith believes in that which he promised, something that he says exists. So faith, and you know, Brother Hagin used to say this, faith creates realities. Faith-filled words create. And then we looked at Proverbs 18. But 2 Corinthians 4:13, let's look at this in a few translations. And want to kind of land on something and remind us of a principle here. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." So when you are sure or convinced of something in the natural, you speak it, you talk about it. And we know this, we've all done this. When I'm convinced of something, we speak about it. We say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to, you know, people get a raise, they win a contest, and they got something coming, or you ordered something through the mail, you're looking for it, you're expecting it to come. You're talking about it. That's faith. You don't have it yet, and you're talking like you have it. Well, that's just a natural principle. God has promised us something in the covenant that we have through his shed blood, and that is how faith takes hold of something and expects it to manifest in this realm. I'm taking what God promised, and I believe it, and I'm speaking it. And this is what 2 Corinthians 4:13 is saying. Now let's look at this in this particular scripture verse in the Bible in basic English. This is 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, "But having the same spirit of faith, as it is said in the writings, the words of my mouth came from the faith in my heart." I like the way this reads. "In the same way, our words are the outcome of our faith." Or you could say, our words are the outcome of what I believe. So when you're with people and they're talking, you're getting a good gauge of what they believe, because they're telling you what they believe from their heart. This is the New Century Version, 2 Corinthians 4:13. "It is written in the scriptures, I believed, so I spoke. Our faith is like this too. We believe, and so we speak." And I'm reminded of a story, because I like to just read on the experiences that Brother Hagin had as in his ministry. He had so many experiences that a lot of them he just never shared. There were that many. And he talked about one time that someone asked him to come pray for this young man. He was dying. He was on his deathbed. And he went to pray for him, and the Holy Spirit said, "No, don't pray for him." And he said, this is what the Holy Spirit said to him. He said to him, "Spiritual laws have been put into motion," and he said, "they cannot be reversed at this time." And he found out later, after this young man had passed, that he talked from the time he was young until the time he was past, and he died. He said, I'm not going to live past a certain age. I forget whether it was 40 or 50 or whatever it was. And he didn't just say it once, he said it a lot. Whenever he was with people, or he'd just say it, and they said, why are you saying that? So he found, Brother Hagin said, after he did the funeral and all of that, he was talking with the family, and they shared that with him. And that's what the Holy Spirit meant. Spiritual laws have been put into motion, and they cannot be changed or reversed at this time. What do we mean by that? God will not override what you say. Well, this is exactly what Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. Let's take a quick look at that. God will not override your will. Proverbs 18, it says in verse 20 and 21, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, meaning your tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So when we decide and we begin to decree some things, when they're done in faith, they put spiritual laws in motion. And that's why it's important that we speak the word of God. We're putting that in motion, not death-filled words. And that's why when it talks about in the scripture that we are to hold fast the profession of our faith and nothing wavering. And so we are to hold fast the profession of our faith, for God is faithful that promised. And so I just wanted to touch on that for a moment, that we need to not limit God. That's really what I'm talking about. Don't limit God. And how do we limit God? We limit God by what we say. Death and life is in the power of our tongue. And we can limit God in Him operating in our lives. And so we need to think about that. And it's the more you say something, the more you decree it, and you keep saying it in faith, you're putting some spiritual laws in motion. The laws of life and death. You're putting those in motion, and they cannot be reversed. God can't override your will. When you decide, I'm going to accept Him as Savior, He doesn't override your will here. You've made a choice. It's the same thing when we give. Second Corinthians chapter 9, it says, as a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And so we purpose in our heart to follow Him. We purpose in our heart to love and obey God. And so when we do, there's benefits to it. There's blessings. But just wanted to share that. So real faith speaks to the mountain or the problem. Real faith, Bible faith. What is real, or you might say, what is real or genuine faith? Well, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please Him. For he that what? Cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, when it says you believe that He is, well, then if you believe that He is, then you believe everything that He provides. He is, and He's a rewarder. Well, then that means if I believe, then I'm speaking what I believe. This is what we just got done reading in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. You know, I'm reminded again of some of the experiences that Brother Hagin had. He talked about when people would come to his meetings, and he might do you know, a healing meeting for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. He said, if I could get people to bring their Bible, and he made a note of it. He said, if I could get people to bring their Bible and just look at their Bible. Now, of course, we didn't have these devices then, but he said there was a marked difference between those that just came and heard him teach and those that came with their Bible and followed him along. He said, those people that did, he said, they would receive their healing. There was just something that he said they followed along. They let the word of God into their hearts, and it wasn't just hearing. They actually looked at the word of God as he was teaching. And he said the other thing was, he said that when people, he noticed a difference. When people got something, when they received revelation, they didn't wait to have him call for it. They would just get up and come and say, you just lay your hands on me and I'll receive my healing right now. Well, they were convinced of what they were being taught. And this is no different than what happened in Mark chapter 5 with the woman with the issue of blood. She had heard about Jesus. And what does it say? She made her way into that crowd and she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And when she did, the power of God was released or came out of Jesus, and it says immediately she was healed. So there's a difference when somebody, real faith, genuine faith, decrees something, and it says, you speak to the mountain, you speak to the problem. So the more we feed upon the word, or in other words, you might say you have a persuaded heart. And a persuaded heart will believe, because that's what a persuaded heart is. A persuaded heart is someone who's convinced they have something. You're persuaded. And when you're persuaded, you do what? You speak. You decree something. You talk about it. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. And of course, just like Jesus did when Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and started to walk on the water. And then what did it say? He looked at the wind and the waves and he began to sink. So what did he do? He looked at the distractions that were around him, and obviously it must have affected his what? His thinking. And now all of a sudden, he's sinking. So he went from thinking and then began to sink. So as we look at this, let's not limit the Lord or limit God by the words of our mouth. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 in the King James, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then the Bible in basic English in that verse, Proverbs 23:7, says, for as the thoughts of his heart are, so is he. So as a man thinketh, so is he. So if you think and you look at your problems and you embrace them, or you start to meditate on them, you become that. And that's why we need to guard our heart, which is what we were sharing on Sunday, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. In the King James, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And talking about our thinking, the Good News Translation, it says in Proverbs 4:23, be careful how you think. It says, your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And then the New Living Translation in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. So we need to just guard the thoughts. You know, as we opened up this evening, all the thoughts that we have, the distractions, God, it says, he's the Father of lights with whom there is no variable or turning. And so every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And so God is concerned about what we're concerned about. And let's just spend a few moments. Let's look at Romans 12:2 in the King James. You know, we're just sharing about how there's so much confusion and hurt and destruction in this earth, and God has given us a way to navigate it and overcome it. Romans 12:2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And I just took a moment to, you know, we all think we know what conform means, but I just looked at, you know, a few dictionaries, and then, of course, look at it in you know, the Greek. But in the Webster dictionary, the word conform means to be similar or identical, to be in agreement or harmony. And then it also means it applies to bringing into accordance with a pattern, an example or principle. So, you know, they use an example, refuse to conform to society's values. This was in the Merriam-Webster. So we can either, the scripture says, be not conformed to this world. Don't pattern yourself, or don't be identical or similar to this world. But how? Be transformed, changed. How? By the renewing of our mind, which means the renewing of our thoughts. And so we need to take hold of our thoughts and the things that the world is marching to, that drumbeat. We're not to march to it. We're not to conform to it. We're not to embrace it or fashion ourselves after that. I like the Message translation of this. It says in Romans 12:2, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. This is what we started sharing with Colossians 3:1-2. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you. So God is looking to do what? He's looking to cause us to be overcomers in this earth, overcomers in life, and that is going to come about by a renewed mind, by meditating, and as we were looking in Colossians 3:1, feasting on heavenly realities, thinking about them. So when the world says, no, you can't do that, you can't have, well, what does God's word say about that? When, you know, things are pressing against us, you know, I'm so appreciative of people. You know, you may have, you may have a family, maybe your children are dealing with all of these pressures and things that are going on. You need to be a comfort for your children, reminding your children who they are and who loves them, and that you love them, not only as your parents, but God loves them. And the world is doing what? Dragging them down to its level of immaturity. It's to destroy and to hurt and to cause one to think less of who they really are. And so that's why we need to constantly, this is a constant effort, a constant process of renewing our minds and thinking like God thinks about us and not what the world thinks and what other people think about us. You know, I heard someone say, who cares what other people thinks about us? I'm more interested in what does God think about me and my actions and what I'm doing. That's what's most important. And let's look at this again, one last, in the Romans 12, 2, in the Passion translation of Romans 12, 2. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. See, the culture around us has opinions. I mean, you can see it right now. The Bible, see, regardless of what we think and our opinions and the culture's opinions, it says, God says, those that bless Israel will be blessed. And yet, the culture has risen up and wants to do what? Come against Israel. Well, we need to watch our opinions about things and not embrace the opinions of people regarding Israel. We need to follow what the word says. So that's what it says here. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. You could go here and you could say, God said there is male and female. Now we love all people, but the opinions, some opinions say you can just be whatever you want. You can decide what gender you are. No. There's male and female. So we're not to embrace the opinions and the culture around us, but we are to be what? Inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total transformation of how you think. This will empower you to do what? As your mind is renewed, what does it say? This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful, satisfying, and perfect in his eyes. So God is telling us the way to overcome, the way to live above the evil in this world is not to conform to it, but to have our minds renewed by the word of God. And so he's given us the roadmap, the plan, and just, you know, God loves us and he wants us to be successful in life. And this is exactly, let's just close with this scripture in Joshua 1:8. Because that basically says the same thing. Let's look at the Amplified Classic of Joshua 1:8. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Glory to God. So God has given us the plan, the roadmap. We need to what? Be examples of the goodness of God, be examples of his holiness, be examples of his love. That's why I was sharing, you know, the motto that was given to Pastor Sarah Utterbach when they came back in 1980. They came back from Rhema Bible Training Center at the time. Now it's called Rhema Bible Training College. But they were driving back from Oklahoma. And they said when they got over across the Delaware Water Gap, as they were coming out of Pennsylvania into New Jersey, The Holy Spirit gave her that motto, where the love of God is evident, the Word of God is taught, the Spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. Well, I just was impressed, Sunday, we need to say that individually. I am His child, and I'm a place. I'm a spirit where the love of God is evident. I am a place where the love of God is evident. I am a place that receives the Word of God. I'm a place, I'm a person who's led by the Spirit of God. And I am a person, a spirit, where the power of God operates through. And I'll tell you, when we begin to decree that, we begin to believe it and see it, it will change us from the inside out. It'll begin to transform us and how we walk in this earth. Praise God. And we won't limit God. We won't limit what He can do in and through us. Praise God. Amen. Well, we thank You, Father, for these few moments that we had to share the Word of God in our heart. And we thank You that the entrance of Your Word is changing us. It's transforming us into the very image of God, in His likeness. And we thank You that the love of God is operating in us. The Word of God resides in us. And we thank You that the Spirit of God directs us in the affairs of life. And the power of God operates in and through us to help people. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we receive our offering, I just want to extend to those that may be watching that we always do. We always extend an appeal that if you don't know Christ, if you don't know Jesus, then it's a very simple, you believe in your heart that He is the Christ, and you believe and you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and it said you'll be saved. So if that's you, maybe you've never made a profession of faith, then let's do that, and let's, give you that opportunity to be saved. So let's say this: Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that He was raised from the dead, and I confess that with my mouth, and I now believe that I am saved. I've asked You to come into my heart to change my spirit from death to life, and thank You that I receive eternal life, and I am cleansed with the blood of Jesus, and my life is brand new. I'm a new person in Christ. And I don't act the same. I don't think the same. I thank You that my heart has been changed and the love of God has been shed abroad in it. And now I am a Christian, and I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that simple prayer and you meant it from your heart, then send us an email at the address on the screen, or you can mail us at the address at 145 West Route 59, Nanuet, New York, or you can call us 845-623-9300 and just let us know that you receive Christ as your Savior this evening, and we'll send some information to you as to who you have just become in Jesus' name.